What you're about to hear is part of the Podgods Network. If you have a problem with anything you hear, please write it in an email. Enjoy the show!
This episode of the Random Variety Show is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow to get your free download. And now, on with the show!
This is Scott Friend with Modest Among Giants, and you're listening to the Random Variety Show podcast.
Season 2, Episode 8, for the week of April 12th, 2013. It's time for the Random Variety Show podcast with Charlie Miller. Hey, that's me! It's the only bi-weekly podcast that's random, has variety, and is a show. Hello and welcome back to another great episode of the Random Variety Show. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, or however you listen. I do appreciate it, because without you guys listening, well, it would be a one-sided show, and that's really boring. Wow, Season 2, Episode 8. I've been doing this for a year and, well, 16 weeks since I do it as a bi-weekly podcast, and it's to me, it's just an amazing feeling, because when I started out, I didn't know where this would take me. I didn't know how long I'd be doing it. I had, you know, almost, well, I guess delusions of grandeur of keeping this going, and I plan on doing it because I'm having such a great time. Our guests this episode are Dave, Andy, and Ben from Fistful of Podcasts Radio, more commonly known as FFOP Radio. They sit down with Groucho, talk about movies, podcasting, video games, and a whole bunch more. And now it's time for
the random segment.
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 The random segment. Ah, the random segment. A chance for me to share with you what's been happening for the last 2 weeks in my life. Well, aside from taking care of my son, some other wonderful things have happened. The class I've mentioned in previous episodes is going very well. Still room for growth. I've got open spots for people that are still interested. So if you're interested, get in touch with me. Or check out classactsandiego.com. But I am so pleased with the progress that we've made in the last, it's about a month now. And the feedback from all the students, the progress with all the students in such a short time has been such a wonderful feeling, because here I am helping these people attain whatever goals we've set out, whatever they may be, and everybody's a little bit different because that's the nature of the beast. But I've been having a blast, and the feedback behind from everybody else is they've enjoyed it as well. I've also been working hard on the Groucho Marx live fundraising show that I'm putting on. I've mentioned it in past episodes, so I'm not going to get into it too much. Go back and listen to the last few episodes. You'll hear more about it. But if you're interested in attending and you're in San Diego on April 26, 2013, come down and join us. Another bit for the random segment, Rebecca and I, well, let me back up. If you're listening for the very first time, thank you so much. Rebecca is my wife, and she was a guest in Season 1, Episode 21. Go back to the archives at randomvarietyshow.com and give that a listen. Anyhow, she and I had our very first date night since the birth of Drew, so we're looking at about 6 3/4 months that we haven't had really a true just us date night, and it was wonderful. So first, a big thank you to my mother-in-law for coming and watching Drew, but that's a given because, you know, grandmas love grandchildren. She comes over and spends time with us, so it's not like she doesn't see him, but it was her first real solo flight with him, and it was our first night out, and it was a fantastic night. First, we went to a local sushi restaurant that we had never tried before, and it was very good. I was very pleased. The rice was absolutely amazing, the rice that they wrapped the rolls in, along with the blend of flavors. There was something called an amigo roll, and it had spicy tuna and cream cheese and salsa and a couple other things that I'm forgetting right now, but it was an amazing roll. So dinner was wonderful. Then after that wonderful sushi dinner, we went and saw a play at a local playhouse here. I've mentioned it in the past. Go back to the archives. I've mentioned Pow Pack before. It was the show Doubt, a Parable by John Patrick Shanley. If you're not familiar with the show, my personal suggestion is go find the script. It's a short script. I think it's only 45 pages long, something like that. It's in the terms of a play, it's really short, quick, easy read. You can read it within an hour and a half maybe. And if you don't want to get the script to read, then go look for the movie Doubt, obviously the name, from 2008, starring Meryl Streep, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams, and Viola Davis. It is a magnificent story. I don't want to give it away so you can enjoy it on your first experience, whether you watch it or read it, but it is just a wonder. I love John Patrick Shanley. He's an amazing author, beautiful. His dialogue written for actors is so rich and so full. If you don't know who John Patrick Shanley is, he's only directed two movies in his life. Doubt was one of them, and he also wrote the screenplay, of course, but he also wrote and directed Joe versus the Volcano. So to give you an idea of his diversity, there's two samples that are well known in pop culture. So it's not a story for everyone. I'll say that up front. It's a drama. It's a heavy drama. It deals with some heavy duty issues. So if that's not your style of entertainment, then don't even waste your time. I'll share that with you right now. But if you do like a gritty, down to earth drama, check it out. It's well worth it. So we saw this production, and we knew the director and the assistant director and a couple other people on the production team. But more importantly, we knew two of the four actors in the show. So we were excited to go see their performance because, well, we've known them for years, and I love watching them on stage. It was a good evening. The show is meant to evoke feelings of, well, doubt in your mind. And It was very well done. So my hat's off to all those people involved in Doubt at PowPack in the spring of 2013. It's time for Groucho's Corner here on the Random Variety Show. Now, if you're listening for the very first time, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. If you're tuning in again, longtime listeners know that I love you for longtime listening. Wait a minute. Well, you get what I mean. Now, if you've never heard the show before, I highly suggest that you go back to either randomvarietyshow.com or iTunes and listen to, well, you have two shows to choose from. You can listen to the prequel episode, Season 1, Episode 00, or the anniversary show, Season 2, Episode 1. Why? Well, both those shows contain my full conversation with Groucho Marx, and you'll find out why he's on my show. I do suggest the anniversary show because there's a little bit more information in there, too. But in a nutshell, I was searching the internet for people to interview. I stumbled across the disembodied voice of Groucho Marx. He graciously offered to help me with my podcast, and the rest is history. Our guests today are Dave, Andy, and Ben from Fists Full of Podcast Radio, more commonly known as FFOP Radio. And without any further delay, Groucho, guys, you're on. Hello, and welcome to Groucho's Corner. Today we have two wonderful guests. We've got Dave and Andy from FFOP Radio. Welcome to the show, boys. Introduce yourselves to our guests.
Hey, this is Dave talking at you now. I'm the host of FFOP Radio from FistfulOfPodcast.com.
And I am Andy. I suppose I'm the sidekick.
You're the co-host.
Of FFOP Radio? Nah, I like sidekick better.
Okay.
You just stand around and kick people?
Yeah, in the side.
On the side. Well, at least it's a lucrative job. So you both co-host or host and then kind of sidekick on the side there for FFOP. How did that start? How did you come to Fistful of Podcasts?
Funny story. Well, it's not really a funny story. What happened was it all started in my... In this very space that I am coming to you live from now, in my studio, I retrofitted a bedroom in my house to become a studio, and it started as just a creative outlet for myself. And at the time, it was just me and my brother. We had a couple of cheapy headsets plugged into the front of the computer, I talked instead of screamed, and as it progressed. I found my voice, as it were.
Let's see. I came in around episode 36 to talk about hobos, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's an interesting topic.
Then around episode, 50, David texted me and was like, I need you. And then I've been on for another 117.
Yeah.
Well, the latest iTunes count is 191 episodes.
Wow.
I think it's 163 years. Well, I guess if you count all our bonus episodes, I don't know. because there's 163 canonized episodes, and there's the non-canonical, which will be the bonuses. So I don't know how many those are.
Well, it works out to be 191, according to iTunes.
Nice. I just dropped my glass because I was so surprised.
I heard that there. Just don't get cut. Well, you know, Charlie's got something similar with the Random Variety Show. He's got a few bonus episodes out there. And even though season one only had 24 actual episodes, he really had about 30, 31. So I know what you're speaking of. The counts don't add up.
Yeah, that's the thing. He did something smarter than we did, because seasons is a much better way to put things. I just threw it out there, and I was like, okay, well, easiest thing to do is just put episode big in front of the thing, and then put episode whatever, so that I would remember, at least for my sake.
You can have seasons of a podcast? Whoa.
You can do it any way you want to do it. That's the beauty of podcasts.
Then technically, we have had 163 seasons.
You count each one as a different season?
Yes, longest running show on the web with 163 seasons.
Let's see how that markets for you.
Each episode is a season.
It is.
Oh.
It must feel that way. So now, how do the two of you, besides jumping into the episode there where you talk about hobos, how did the two of you become friends? How did you cross paths to begin with?
Let's see. We had a mutual friend here in Nevada. And David lives in Arizona. He came down to visit him, but the friend had to work. So I went and, not knowing David, picked him up in my car and drove him around town.
Sounds kind of dangerous.
Yeah, he could have at any time had his way with me.
It did feel kind of sketchy because Sean lived here and there back and forth over our adolescence. And so when I finally made it up to Reno to see him, he's like, I got to work. This guy is Andy. He'll show you around. And we just sort of had polite, awkward small talk in his car for a day.
Yeah.
And that's how the friendship grew?
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
it blossomed from there.
Do you remember any of those small talk topics you talked about?
Oh, gosh.
So how long have you known Sean?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
That's good.
No, I remember kind of because I was big into martial arts back then. And so, you know, we were trying to figure out things to do. And I was like, I like comic books. I did the martial arts thing. So we ended up at this really, it looked like where Gizmo was sold. It was a tiny shop.
In Chinatown?
It wasn't even in Chinatown. It was just like this.
If there was a Chinatown in Reno and it was this one building, sure.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if you can have a season per episode, then they can have a building that's Chinatown.
They do, too. And so we go in there, and it's like full of incense and a bunch of mystical crap. And I end up buying a practice sword. And I remember that clear as a bell, but the rest of it's kind of a blur.
Well, was alcohol involved?
Not yet.
You were so young.
Oh, you were too young before that. Wow, okay. Well, how did the name... Go ahead.
This was
decades ago.
16?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is a long-time friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
We're almost like prison pen pals, except we see each other on Skype.
I see. So why did it take to episode whatever you said there, 36 or something, to finally get involved?
I think what it came down to was... My brother, you know, he's a stand-up guy, but he is about as funny as like a dead wombat.
Does watching paint dry?
Yes. And so it was essentially me just trying to get a rise out of him. And I would plan all these bits and I would say, okay, this is what you're going to do, Scott. Here's this beat and here's this beat. And he would be as like dry as a saltine. And so I was like, okay, I need to branch out. So
I'm laughing already.
I got Sean involved. And then I don't remember how Adam and Andy got involved, but I was like, you know, hey, guys, I got this show going on for the next, you know, God knows how long. Would you like to be on it?
And I said, sure, why not? And then freaking 3 years later.
Still doing it. Now, were you guys fans of podcasts before you started? Did you listen to any podcasts that are out there?
I personally was. Because I was a huge fan of terrestrial talk radio. And so when Arizona still had talk radio, I would listen to that every day. I would listen to one of my favorites was the Adam Carolla Show. And even Tom Likas, as disgusting as that show is, I listened to Tom Likas every day.
Because you were forced or because you were interested in what had to be said?
No, I just, he was a crappy character, and I had nothing else to listen to. So that, it pretty much was that.
Oh, why would you even listen to music?
Well, it boils down to the lesser of two evils.
Exactly. And so, what happened there was, in Arizona anyway, that fell off. It changed into a top 40s pop and garbage station.
Woo, my favorite.
So they moved on to the internet and started podcasting. And I was like, what? What is this? And I had a long time interest in terrestrial radio and figured this would be a way to get some experience. If not, you know, it just turned from what I thought would eventually be something profitable, which I have now come to realize it is not.
Oh, but, no, not at all.
But it is. It's a creative outlet.
You wish.
You wish that it was creative, or you wish that it made a profit?
Both.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So now that was Dave. Andy, you weren't listening to podcasts? You just followed Dave?
I listen to a lot of the local radio stuff like that, but it's all kind of crap. And I listened to the Rooster Teeth podcast back when that was the Drunk Tank. And I thought that was hilarious. And David was like, you want to do this podcast thing? I was like, sure, I think I'm funny. Come to find out. That
not so much.
Thank you, Ben.
That was a nice little cricket there. Now, how did you guys come up with the name Fistful of Podcasts or FFOP Radio?
Well, I wasn't even the one to. Well, okay, here's the thing. I'm a huge Clint Eastwood fan, and I was sitting around with Ben, our sound engineer, who you will hear only through sound drops in any one of our shows.
Yep.
And my brother
like speaks like Harpo then through sound.
Yes, he's much like your brother Harpo.
I have never even seen him. I've been assured that Ben exists.
Well, all you need is a sound now and then, and he's there.
He exists. It's just about 18.
See, there he is, right there. Sounds like he gave some angels some wings.
He's like a ghost that floats into the studio and complains when the mics are turned off. but here's what happens. I'm a huge fan of Clint Eastwood. I went to Ben and I went to my brother and I was like, what would be a good name for a show? And I'm like, you know, this was back when every other show had, you know, some bastardized version of podcast put in it. So mm-hmm, it was like the Smodcast or the yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, they all ended with cast or some sort of play on word with the word pod. Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't want to do anything with the play on words. So Clint Eastwood, huge fan of The Good, the Bad, and the Podcast was a crappy sounding name. So we ended up with Fistful of Podcasts, and I didn't even come up with FFOP Radio. A listener was like, yeah, go FFOP. And it took me a second. I was like, what does that mean?
Oh, you couldn't figure out your own acronym.
Didn't even try. And so I outsourced that to a fan who came up with it like a flash of lightning out of the blue.
David became violently angry. He's like, I am not a fop. I do not dress with a powdered wig. I don't know where you're getting this.
See, this is...
And it's an audio podcast, not even a video, so how would they know?
Exactly. See, that's the kind of comedy that Andy brings to the show. Observational humor based on letters.
Well, that's quite a talent.
So the same kind of comedy you'd get from Sesame Street and Cookie Monster.
Yes.
Hey, that's quality entertainment there.
Our shows are usually brought to you by the letter F, just so you know.
Well, from the ones that I listen to, I could tell. And that's all right. There's plenty of room for it out there. So being it was the Clint Eastwood being a fan base is how you came up with Fistful of Podcasts.
Yeah, because it was right about that time where I was... really huge into watching A Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and even some of the Bronson ones. But there was no good Bronson movie that I could lend to a... Because all of his movies are they like Death Wish, Death Hunt. And
they all sound pretty negative. Nobody would want to really listen to that.
Yeah, are you like, sure hey, you don't it's want a comedy podcast? Yeah, it's called Deathcast. Woohoo.
Well, that doesn't sound like they're going to have very many listeners, at least after a while.
Negative.
Now, the sense of, or the pluralization of podcasts and the word radio in your title, it makes, at least when I first looked into it, it made it seem like there was more of a network feel going on. Are you having any plans for additional shows, or you're just going to stick to the one and pour all the energy into it?
Well, here's the thing. And Andy was a part of this as well, and I'll let him speak to it a little bit. But he is a bigger movie fan than I. And so we started a second sister show to FFOP Radio. And originally I had just, you know, intended to be the podcasts, meaning plural, like the episodes. But we started a show called The Reviewniverse, in which we would review crappy movies.
Yes.
Like B-list movies and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Stuff like Women in Cages, The Mighty Peking Man.
Thanks Killing.
Oh, none of these I've ever heard of, and I think that's a good thing.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure they're still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the real question is, why would I want to look them up?
Exactly. And, see, that's why after about 9 episodes, the show tanked and flopped.
People enjoyed it. It's hard to watch a movie 3 times while you're trying to do a podcast and work and then record a secondary podcast.
Yeah, we spread ourselves a little thin, and so I tried to pass the torch on to some younger aspiring fans that had showed some interest. But, you know, people have lives and they don't have the same passion for the project that we did. And it, you know, I just, rather than see a bastardized version, you know, spring forth, I decided, man, let's just kill it.
And focus on the one show.
Yes.
Now, speaking of scheduling and lives outside of podcasting, how do you guys keep up with the weekly routine of publishing? Of course, there's 2 of you there or 3 of you, but because I know Charlie just does it all by himself.
Well, don't look to Adam or Andy for any of those answers.
No.
Because all they have to do is show up for 2 hours once a week.
So, Dave, you do it all. You do the editing and the publishing and all the other fancy stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
100%. I take care of the hosting. I did I set up our website. We're actually in the process, and hopefully by the time this airs, we will have switched. But the editing, the posting, the control of the Facebook, the Twitter, that all falls upon my my head.
So how do you keep up with it weekly?
I don't even know how to describe it. I want to say this for the record, even though I know I give Adam and Andy a hard time. I do rely heavily on them for inspiration and for a comedic well, if you will, because Adam and Andy are very different in their personality and they balance out very well on the show, which perfectly our chemistry is just really good because they spend their time, you know, disagreeing with me in various ways. And I end up screaming and blowing a forehead vein because I can't get them to see reason.
Having another stroke.
So it's that constant debate or challenging of points of view.
More or less. I mean, but it's never really a challenge. It's just Adam saying no, and then Andy will say something, you know, drunk or something, and then we just move on.
Hey.
Room service.
I get the feeling you're making fun of me.
Sounds a little bit like that. Now, as we said earlier, there's 191 episodes available to download off of iTunes, and your first release date was November 16th, 2009. So that's quite a bunch of time under your belt. Do you have any suggestions or learning experiences that you'd like to share with any upcoming podcasters or people who are just starting out?
Because now for me, I'm an audiophile. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I'm an audiophile. And I would, even with my crappy mics, I would pore over the audio to make sure it sounded the best that it could. And I script and I saved. And finally, I mean, it happened a little at a time. And the best piece of advice I can give to you is buy, if not studio grade equipment, then just test stuff out. I must have gone through 8 different headsets, mics, different cans, different mixers. To find out what sounded perfect to me.
And so every week, oh, I got this new mic. Like, why?
Didn't sound good enough, Andy.
Of course it didn't.
So the two things I can say to aspiring internet entrepreneurs is this. Equipment. Focus on equipment. Learn all you can. And number two, have structure in your show. Because I always am looking for new shows. And I follow a lot of shows on Twitter, and they follow me back. And
that's how we met.
Exactly. And if it doesn't, your show is a perfect example because it has structure. It has A to B to C to D. It's not just a random gab fest for an hour and a half where you're like, I forgot why I started.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It does have structure.
So those are the two things I will push the strongest: quality equipment and structure. If it's not funny or interesting, if you have structure, people will come.
My tip is to disrupt David's structure, because a lot of times that's where you will get the best material that you have.
Throwing a monkey wrench into his souffle there?
Yeah. Some of my favorite bits that we've ever done have gone off where David was talking about something, and then we go on a complete tangent that is opposite of what we were talking about for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's good to have it's good to have co-hosts. It's good to have co-hosts you can get along with, but we'll still I know I can't swear on this show.
Well, you can swear. Charlie will just beep it out.
All right. Well, they'll still. How about like this? They'll still kick you in the dick even though you're friends.
I understand that. And it's very eloquent.
And we do it often. Yes. Quite often.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun.
You got to keep David in his place.
Yeah, I see. And that's how you wrangle them together then.
Yes.
Believe you me, there's nothing gets me more off the charts angry than when I'm in the middle of a tirade and Andy will say something like, hey, you know, I was at the store today, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Andy, why? What are you doing to me here?
Shutting you down.
Yeah, and he does that all the time.
Now, would you say that's the flavor of your show? The reason why people listen is because of the, well, dare I say, witty banter between the two of you?
It's fair to say.
Well, I was trying to be nice by calling it witty, but we can call it something else.
I can think of something that rhymes with witty.
And that's exactly why I said that way.
Yeah, it's essentially yes. I think what sets us apart is we all have a certain role to play. I'm the angry one. Andy is the lackadaisical one. And Adam is the too logical for his own damn good one.
Now, Adam's not here today. Is that right, or is he just the silent? Because I thought Ben was the silent one.
Ben's the silent one. Adam is actually busy like he is usually.
Ah, so he hasn't been around very frequently. How often would you say he's around with the two of you?
Gosh. Oh,
once a month. He used to be in the Navy.
Yeah, so he was in the Navy.
Getting him an internet connection on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a sure thing.
No, yeah.
And very expensive.
It was in and out, and every time he would be, you know, near land or any Wi-Fi, we'd have him on the show as best we could. Then when he got out, he became a little more of a regular feature, but he's got a different schedule than us. So, I mean, he makes it on as many times as he can, and, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, our schedules are a little sporadic, still having to keep up with our 9-to-5s.
Oh, I hear you there. I understand. And that's why they call it a hobby.
Exactly.
Exactly. So aside from equipment and having a structure to the show, is there any other stumble blocks that you happened to cross over the 191 shows that you want to share, or any stories that come to your mind, either horror stories or wonderful stories?
I
try not to have more than 4 people on at a time.
Yes.
Because it will turn into a major cluster.
Yeah, it'll turn into a cluster in no time. So,
and that's because of everybody talking over each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Of course.
When it's in the, when I have a whole bunch of guests in studio here, it is different, because when you're in the same room and you can see each other's face, you know when the next person is going to try and jump in and talk. But the more people you involve over Skype, the more that dynamic has to be worked out.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely. Because there's a body language and, you know, people giving you a look with their eye saying or a nod of their head saying they want to say something. We don't have that in the audio world.
No. And that's one of the things. If you have co-hosts that are coming to you via satellite, like I do have Adam and Andy, it's, you know, talk to each other on Skype, like learn each other's mannerisms and how each other work, and that way you won't end up just shouting over each other and and you know, it become unlistenable radio.
What?
Right.
Shut up, Andy.
And that's what comes down to chemistry between the hosts.
Exactly.
Which leads back into listeners wanting to return.
Also, don't have David's brother on the show. He will just sleep.
Yeah. There's literally no less than five episodes in which we all take a minute to listen to my brother snoring on mic.
Seriously? He falls asleep while you're recording?
Yes. Yeah. He comes in here. He's awake. He's spry. As soon as he sits down, I'm going to give it a good 20 minutes in. He is out like a light. And then during the music breaks, I got to shake him like a baby to wake him back up.
And is he on drugs or is he just working hard outside the podcast?
He's working hard. He's a police officer in the Phoenix area.
Oh, well, that's a tough job. Yeah, my hat's off to him. Well, my proverbial hat, that is.
He does overnights. And so when he shows up here, he barely makes it awake through dinner. And I'm like, you want to be on the show? And it'll give her the thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I gotta get as much out of him while I can while he's awake.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's a tough job, and I can see that you give him a break, at least a little one.
For the most part.
Now,
serve no breaks.
No breaks in podcasting. So now, out of all these episodes, have you? I know not all of them have guests or special guests. We could say. Do you have any favorite guests that you remember that you'd like to talk about?
Gosh. There's been a lot. We've had Torrin Atkinson from Darkness of the Hillside Thickets. He's also has his own show, the Caustic Soda podcast. Wayne June. Most interestingly to me, and most, I couldn't believe it actually happened. We had Mel McMurrin. And if you know that name, then you're nerdier than I am, because he is, was, I should say, the voice of Calypso in the Twisted Metal franchise.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with that, but that name did ring a bell. Is he more of a voiceover actor than just what that was?
Yeah, he's a VO actor, and he did like what one thing that excited Krista was he did like the Sutter Homes wine commercial.
Oh,
he's done a bunch of stuff, but I got him on because he was a legend and a hero to me because I played those games like. You would not believe, and when I found out where he was and that he would be on my show, I hit the chair, and it was, you know, it was all uphill from there because I couldn't believe it was happening.
Mm. So it was like a dream come true. It was a dream guest.
I sharted.
Yes, it was.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it was happening. So we've had everyone from bands to other podcasters, artists. Even
famous
the porn
midget
star.
Porn stars.
Yes,
I think that's the episode I had.
Yes,
I got off like when we recorded that. I got I finished and I turned to my girlfriend and I said, "My life has become so surreal." She's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I was just interviewing a famous midget porn star."
Well, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, we're living the high life. I'm always knocking over old glasses of champagne around here.
Always?
Oh, there it is. There, I was waiting for it.
He was waiting for it.
It took a little bit.
Ben was a little slow there.
He always is.
Had to find a little bit to get to find the actual glass that wasn't broken.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's what the prop master's for.
The show would be profitable if David wasn't always throwing glasses around the room.
Yeah that's probably the biggest thing of your budget. And there you go, giving angels the wings again.
Where Ben sits, it's just like he... It's like a ball pit, but instead of balls, it's just shards of old tumblers and champagne.
It's like that scene in Die Hard where they shoot out the glass.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. That's where Ben sits, though.
That's quite a studio
here.
You have.
I don't want to be recorded.
All right, so moving right along. We talked about favorite guests. So what about, without naming names, because we don't want to badmouth anybody, because it's always a wonderful thing when people make appearances on podcasts, but do you have any least... favorite guest?
Oh yeah, what was his name? Yeah. We'll say his name. I don't care.
It's up to you.
Dominic. He was terrible.
The most awful.
Yeah. So here's how it went down. I had an idea for an FFOP animated short. I wrote up the script. I wrote out the beats. I farmed it out. I found someone to do it. It turned out to be this kid, and I said, "Here you go." first thing he does is come back to me, screws up the punchline. So that made me irate. I was like, no, you cannot have a joke without a punchline. And I was like, where is the punchline in this thing? He's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I'm pissed off, but I will take it because it's probably all I'm going to get out of you.
Because that's David's natural state.
So he just wasn't, we'll say cooperative.
Well, no, he just doesn't know comedy. So we had him on, and I'm like, hey, you want to be on the show? And we'll talk about it. And I wanted to, you know, dig into him a little bit about how much he made me angry about screwing up the punchline of my joke. And so he came on and was
awful.
Stereotypical, like any kind of nerd you can think of, if they like Star Trek.
Yeah, we asked people to send us hate mail, and it hadn't happened for years.
Yeah.
And then that episode aired and we got a ton of hate mail.
Oh, well, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, we don't get any mail, good, bad, or indifferent. But when he was on, they're like, please, for the love of God, go back to doing characters. We just don't want this guy back on the show.
Yeah, that was our most hated episode, is when we did voices. Until that one.
Until.
Oh, wow. They like your own character voices other than that guest.
Yeah,
wow.
They would rather watch us flounder like a goldfish on a carpet than have that guy back on.
Now, what was his qualifications? Was he just an actor or a character or a student?
He was an animator, essentially. He animated our because I did the audio for it. I did the soundtrack and the audio, and all he had to do was animate it. And
sounds easy enough.
Yeah, it does. Except when I handed it off to him, he dropped the ball, and he had his own show. So I said, "Okay, come on my show. Bring a." Because he had bits that he did as well. Yeah. He had some sort of format, so it wasn't totally throwaway. So I said, bring one of your bits to the show, which was immediately cut because I was not going to have any more of that.
So this guy also has his own podcast?
Yes.
Or at least did?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. He had structure, more or less, but it was recorded like from an iPod Touch.
Ah, yes. Yes. And that goes back to equipment, as you mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
His mic stand was a plastic cup.
Oh, that made me. I almost flew into a rage and jumped out my window, killing myself on the third story floor below. Because I was like, okay, one thing that gives me more fits of anger than anything is people who don't listen to what I say because it's for their own good or for my own good.
Mm-hmm. Good sense to me.
Yeah, I say to him, do you have a microphone? He says, yes, it's from a PlayStation 2 game. I say, and I say, you need to get a microphone, because he was holding it like he was a stage comedian, but every time he would turn his head, the microphone would not follow.
So he didn't have any mic technique.
Yes, it ended up sounding a little bit like this, and then he would come back to the mic, and then he'd fly away again, and it was driving me, I was going bonkers.
Wow, so, I could imagine that. Sounds like the first version of Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. So, come time to record, I said, you know, you've had 24 hours notice. Oh, and he forgot how to do the game, too. Even though, I'm not going to talk about that.
Are you sure? It sounds like it's right on the tip of your tongue.
Okay, well, here's the thing. We used to do these games, right? And all you had to do was take what I had given you and give an answer for it. There were six of them, and all you had to do was, okay, this, 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 and this. And I gave it to him. I spelled it out. I said, you got to do the game. For everything, you need an answer. And so come time of the show, no mic stand, which I told him to get. He's like, I found a plastic cup, which I was ready to call it right over. Then. Oh.
And he just balanced it on top of the cup?
Yes.
Wow. This guy has never really seen anything regarding recording, has he?
No. And so when we get to the game, he's like, what? A game? And I'm like, yeah, remember the hour and a half chat we had last night? Yeah, we were going over the game that you need to be prepared for. The stuff I typed to you and you said, okay, can do, boss. I'll do it. That game. He's like, no, didn't do it.
And nothing will make David angrier than a not finished game or no lemon in his water.
Preparedness is all I ask for out of these people. And when I don't get it after begging and pleading for it, there's nothing can be done. I have to get angry.
Well, I can understand that. I would get angry too if you spent all that time in, we'll just say, pre-production, and you didn't listen or follow anything you suggested.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Before every show, Here's another tip I should have said before. Before every show, if you're going to have a guest, do a dry run. Make sure your equipment's working. Make sure there's no problems. Make sure their equipment's working. Make sure that they're not, you know, make sure everything is meshing before you just go, you know, balls out. And then you waste 2 hours of your life because there was a vacuum on in their background.
Sorry, mom's vacuuming again.
I've heard podcasts like that with background noise, like vacuums or pets, animals, dogs, exactly. Cats, birds.
Small appliances and barking dogs. Also, when someone comes into your studio or whatever you're answering for as a studio, don't stop and say, "Oh, hey, Chuck, just doing a show. Be right with you." No, don't do that.
It's kind of obvious if they're standing there watching you what you're doing.
Yeah, just quietly nod to them. And they will leave and keep going on.
It's amazing that some people just don't get it.
It's a learning curve, but I think, you know, I'm trying to help people get past that curve a little quicker.
It's a very sharp curve, though. So when you fall off pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it. So now, what about your histories? What about your educations? I mean, you're both very witty. You're both very eloquent in your spoken speech. What was your training? Did you have any entertainment training or acting training or studio training?
Hours and hours of movie watching.
Does that count as training?
Well, it depends on what it's training for, but it might.
Yeah, Andy can sit longer than any man I've ever known. How about that? Woo-hoo.
Well, that sounds like we should call Guinness.
As far as my education and everything goes, I mean, born and raised here in Arizona, went, you know, up through the ranks, did a lot of acting classes. I took a lot of summer classes for acting. So I learned voice diction and how to remember lines and how to deliver things. Although, you know, when it goes live, there are some screw ups.
Well, that's the nature of the beast though.
Yeah. For me, the hardest part is my brain is angrily going a million miles an hour and I have to slow down and make my mouth make the right sounds. Otherwise it would just be incoherent screaming and jabbering.
Sounds a lot like Robin Williams.
Yes. Kind of like that, except this is funny.
Ooh. Take that, Robin Williams. We're never going to interview you.
Not with that sort of setup.
Burning bridges.
Without even trying.
Exactly.
So so you've got a little bit of acting background there, and that's how you can understand timing and comedy and script writing and things. What about Andy over there?
I did drama in middle school.
Well, that'll count.
But that's about it.
Well, you say you're a movie fan and you watch a lot of movies. Do you also watch a lot of situation comedies or stand-up comedy routines from many of the big names that are out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, pretty so much. You're influenced through just observing.
If I'm doing anything that doesn't already involve the television, it's usually on.
I see.
Something playing.
I see. So it's kind of your other half.
Yeah.
But or at least your electronic
like,
you know,
other half. The room when I'm watching the same episode of something the 50th time.
Yeah, but here's where we agree on a lot of stuff, because Adam and Andy love sitcoms that I find totally abhorrent. They're like How I Met Your Mother and all these other...
Hilarious.
No, it's not, Andy.
It's great. And
it's
you
terrible.
Not.
And, but... So, and that's the thing. These guys are like, oh, man, I feel like 2.5 Men is just... outside their purview, because if that were encompassed in their likes, I feel like the show, I would have to burn it to the ground.
Okay, I see.
Burning bridges with Charlie Sheen and Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, no.
In one
fell swoop,
one quick sentence.
Say what?
I said you knocked them both down in one quick sentence.
Yeah, because they're bad. They're bad. It's not funny.
You know, I
said it.
I will say that I have seen at least the first couple seasons of that, and it wasn't so bad, but after about season 3, I got bored.
Well, how many times can you say, like, oh, there's Charlie Sheen, he's having sex with another chick while she's sneaking out the window while his fat child's knocking at the door? Wait,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I laughed at that 2 times, and then I was over it.
Oh, man. Oh, there he goes. Oh, no, I'm done.
Oh, he's out the window with the lady and the fat kid.
All right, so aside from podcasting, do you guys have any other hobbies that you do, like fishing, camping?
Not really.
Video games all day, every day. That's the other content that I sporadically produce for the show, as I do, yes, thank you, Ben, Let's Plays on our YouTube channel, or at least my YouTube channel, under the name Fistful of Let's Play, and I play video games, and Adam and I comment on them, sometimes David.
Yeah, I was asked to co-host a couple of times, but my favorite, if you're gonna look up these things, look up the one where it's Adam and Andy, and they're doing Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and like nothing will make you laugh harder in that video than Adam saying "Fight like a lady, Rock." I love it.
All right, and Andy, besides video games, is there anything else?
Oh, movies. I've got a lot of movies.
So would you say you're a collector?
Yeah, at this point.
Without trying, you became a collector.
Yeah.
Well, that'll happen if you collect a lot of things. Besides dust.
Yeah.
And so, Dave, it just seems that the podcasting is your main hobby.
It is my forte, because it takes... You know, to pump out new, you know, sometimes not so new, but to pump out a weekly show with something interesting in mind, I mean, it takes a whole week to come around with something, because because we have, we do musical breaks, and I find independent unsigned artists, and I ask them permission to use their music, so that takes a lot of my time.
You should go back and check the archives of Random Variety Show. We've got a few musicians and bands there.
See, I'm always on the lookout for good, new, unsigned, or even if they are signed, they'll let me play their music. I don't care. As long as it passes the Dave test and I don't cringe when I listen to it, I'll play it, because, you know, this business is... it's like a web. If you help someone out, I feel like eventually someone will be like, hey, I got done a solid. Maybe I'll toss a couple of fans your way.
Exactly, exactly. And that's that was the premise of this section of the show, is to get people to sit down, talk with me about whatever topics are interesting at the time, and spread the information about whatever they have to talk about, whether it be music or podcasting or acting or art.
Yeah, so and I could consider myself in my finer moments an artiste, because I feel like comedy is an art form. Don't look at me like that, Ben.
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely. Of course it's an art form.
And so I like to think that I'm, you know, I if I could, I would play an instrument, and I would draw you a friggin', you know, I would draw anything aside from stick figures or crudely drawn maps or jokes. But I have no skill in those areas, so I use my language.
Your editing skills.
I'm a lot funnier after I edit me, trust me.
I think a lot of podcasts are that way.
I always feel funny listening to our show, because I laugh at my jokes.
But you don't laugh at Dave's?
Oh, no, I laugh at Dave's too. It's just it's odd listening to something I said, and I'm like, yeah, that guy's hilarious.
Right?
All right. Before we move to the last questions, I got one more for you. What would you say your favorite classic movie is? And we can use the term classic loosely.
Goodfellas.
Is that a classic?
Isn't it?
By some circles, it would be considered a classic. Absolutely. It's Martin
Scorsese.
We're going
even further back?
You can go back as far as you'd like.
If we're going even further back, then I really like Citizen Kane.
Now, that's a classic movie. That was iconic.
What a poster. I feel like that's everybody's answer, Andy. Come on.
I have one of the original movie posters from when the movie first came out. Yes, I remember when it first came out.
Would that poster be considered a collector's item?
I believe it would. It was belonged to my girlfriend's dad, and he got it from a fellow who was at the premiere.
Yeah, that would definitely be a collector's item.
It sits up there, and... oh, crap. What's his name? Citizen Kane himself.
Orson Welles?
Yes. Unicron.
Unicron.
So we got Goodfellas from Dave, and Citizen Kane from Andy.
Oh, no, that was Andy's. I've never seen Goodfellas.
Oh. Because you're a turd.
All right, Dave, what would you consider your favorite classic movie?
Okay, I've got three answers for you.
That's fine.
If we're going genuine classic, I say 12 Angry Men every time.
That's a good one.
Because it reminds David of himself.
It's such a great movie. It's got Peter Fonda. It's got the guy who plays Piglet's voice in it, for God's sake. How can you not like that?
It's also got Jack Klugman.
Exactly. So, that... I mean, it's a great movie. And my next two are actually a series. The Man With No Name trilogy. So that's Clint Eastwood's Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, and For a Few Dollars More. They're always on the list. And the Death Wish series, Death Wish 1 through 5.
Why?
Why? Because Charles Bronson kicks ass repeatedly and thoroughly.
Thanks, David. Because we always need Bronson in here.
Why not?
Thank you for watching my movies. That was the worst impression of Charles Bronson ever.
But it's pretty good because that's what it is. He's like...
Because your brain cells have a death wish? Is that why you watch those movies?
No, because it's so great. Nothing. It's just now. Let me set the scene.
Please do.
Number three. What happens is, he's been slowly evolving into this more and more violent vigilante, and it reaches its apex in the third one, where he finds a Browning 30mm machine gun. And mows down hundreds and hundreds of bad guys, riding motorcycles and falling off of buildings. It is a bloodbath with not a drop of blood shed.
I wish I were dead.
Yeah, sounds great. I want to see a crusty old man wielding a Browning machine gun.
He wasn't crusty and old back then. He was
okay.
Like,
well, he may not have been old, but at least he was crusty.
Well, has he always been crusty?
Technically, but when he's like, hey, it's me, Paul Casey, and he's like, bah, 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 and he kills everybody.
That's the best.
It's a formula that works, Andy.
No, your movie recommendation is canceled.
How dare you.
And in 3, 2, 1.
And we're rolling? Okay. Hello, listener. It's commercial time again, and you know what that means, right? It's time for me to inform you of how you can support the Random Variety Show. Well, the website is randomvarietyshow.com. That's where you need to go. Everything about the show can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. The easy-to-find Amazon affiliate link is located on the left-hand sidebar, which means that the very next time you want to purchase something from Amazon, go to randomvarietyshow.com first and click on our Amazon link. This will open Amazon in a new tab or window, and you'll be shopping in the blink of an eye. And there are no price differences and no extra fees. In fact, you won't even notice the difference. But we will. Pennies for every dollar you spend through our link come back and support the show. And when I say pennies, I mean pennies, not nickels. You'll also find our affiliate link for Audible.com. Audible is one of the leading suppliers of audio entertainment with over 100,000 titles to choose from. And by using our link, or going to audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow, you get a free audiobook. And we get a small finder's fee. Yeah! So, Reggie, who do I send this off to? You or Charlie?
It's Reginald. My name is Sir Reginald Johnson Walker V.
I'm sorry, Reginald. Sorry, Reginald.
Thank you. Groucho, hand it off to Charlie as you usually would.
Sure thing, Mr. Walker. Now, Charlie, why don't you share one of these 100,000 titles with our wonderful listeners?
Thanks, Groucho. My Audible suggestion this episode comes from listener Allison Jones, who can be found on Twitter as AJones_SD. She suggested that I look up Life Itself, a Memoir, by Roger Ebert. Now, those of you following the news the last 2 weeks know that Roger Ebert passed away April 4th, 2013. So I thought it would be very suiting to suggest his book for this episode. If you're not familiar with who Roger Ebert was, do yourself a favor. Google his name. Lots of information will come up. You'll remember him mostly from the Siskel and Ebert movie reviews. And the reason I want to suggest this book is from the little excerpt that I found on the publisher's website. And it reads, "I believe that if, at the end, according to our abilities, we have done something to make others a little happier and something to make ourselves a little happier, that is about the best we can do. To make others less happy is a crime,
To make ourselves unhappy is where all crime starts. We must try to contribute joy to the world. That is true no matter what our problems, our health, our circumstances. We must try. I didn't always know this, and am happy I lived long enough to find it out. Back to you, Groucho.
Thanks, Charlie. So visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow right now to take advantage of this fantastic offer. Another way that you can support the show is with a direct donation through our PayPal donate button. Now stop and think about this for a moment. Imagine that you're out on the town having a wonderful dinner at your favorite restaurant. The food is delightful, the service is outstanding, and you really truly enjoyed the last couple hours of your day because of this exceptional dining experience. Now, it's time to pay the bill and tip the service. Well, in the case of the Random Variety Show, there is no bill. The show is free. And that's where the donate button comes in. It's a way of you to tip us for the service provided. How much do you appreciate the show? Or better yet, why don't you buy us a drink? Donate the dollar amount of your favorite beverage from your local retailer or local pub, and we'll mention you and your drink right here on the program. Or not. It's your choice to be anonymous. Now, the easiest and cheapest way to support the show is by going to iTunes and rating, reviewing, and subscribing. By taking 30 to 60 seconds to do this, you help the show grow. And if you're listening through Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up for every episode. That helps share the Random Variety Show with other Stitcher users. And lastly, the best and least expensive way to support the show is by telling a friend. Remember, everything starts at randomvarietyshow.com. And now, back to the show. And I think on that note, we'll move right into the Bernard Pivot questions, which is how I end all the interview segments. Now, are you two familiar with the Bernard Pivot questions?
Indeed.
We are, but you go for the listeners at home.
Well, I most definitely will. For those who aren't familiar with the Bernard Pivot questions, it started in France by, well, Bernard Pivot. But most of the American listeners are going to be more familiar with it from Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. The 10 in-depth questions he asks his guests at the end of every episode. Dave, you get to answer this one first, followed by Andy, and then Andy will answer the second one first. So, Dave, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word? Ah, just by the way it looks, it's always been toad.
All
Don't
right.
ask me why.
All right.
But toad always looked like a nice, it's short, it's round, it fits.
Okay. Andy, what's your favorite word?
Sausage. Just fun to say. A lot of S in there.
What?
That's true. Sausage. There are a lot of S's in there.
Unbelievable.
All right, Andy, you get to answer this one first. What is your least favorite word?
Moist. It just, you get all sorts of visions in your head when somebody says moist.
That is very true. And Dave, what's your least favorite word?
God, if I had to pick a least, it would be loogie.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
Oh, because cake is moist, Andy.
Yeah, but...
But nobody really thinks of cake when you say the word moist.
They don't, David.
They always do. Every time someone says moist, I think cake. If someone says dank, I think basement.
That's because you are fat.
Shut up.
All right, Dave, you get to answer this next one first. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Okay. What turns me on is writing a new joke or finding out a new segment. Like if I... We just introduced a new segment to the show called Billy Ledoux's Minute Reviews, and it's this kid who's been a fan of the show, and he's been on the show a couple of times. I got in touch with him, and I said, you know, hey, can you give me something that's a minute long that I can put on the show that you review a product and make it funny? And so when it hit me, and his last name was Billy Ledoux, or his last name was Ledoux, and I thought, Minute Review, I am a genius. So I got on my tablet and I started typing away. And that, like, that excites me more than anything. Finding something new and exciting, a new joke, a new bit, that gets me going.
All right. That's a good answer. And Andy, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I'm going to have to agree with David on that one. When he farms out bits to me, he says, we need something to fill 30 minutes of a show. And since I work a boring job, I get to sit there and think about it. And when I finally hit on something that I think will be funny and it actually works, that's the best feeling ever.
All right. And Andy, you get to answer this one first. What turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Moist. No. creatively? I hate it when we have to do the same bit. If like when we were doing games, it'd come around to some games that we'd been doing for so long, doing the same thing over and over and over with these games, where there was no longer any juice to be wrung out of them.
Mm.
You had to shove the orange peel in the glass and call it a drink.
All right,
that one's still good. So don't throw the Caruso off into that one. Come on.
All right, Dave, and what turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Laziness. Someone putting forth the least amount of effort and expecting something big in return. I work with a kid right now. He's looking to put all of his money into a pyramid scheme, and that is driving me bonkers. Because I said to him, you know, you're looking to do the least amount of energy to make the most amount of something, and you can't get what you want without working for it. Like, I'm not here where I am today in my studio with my equipment because I wished for it and I threw money into the air and I said, Jesus, please bring me a microphone. I worked for it. So if you're lazy, I'm done.
Good answer. Good answer. All right, Dave, you get to answer this one first, and this is the most of our listeners' favorite question. What is your favorite curse word?
Ooh. Now, how is this going to work when you bleep every curse word out?
Charlie makes a recap at the end.
Okay. It depends on my situation, because I drop the F-bomb so much, it's like the word the to me. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
So, my new favorite as of a couple days ago is sipper. Yeah, I love that term.
That brings an image to the mind, I'll say that much.
Because I was at the gym, and the two guys I was playing racquetball with, I brought a speaker in, and they started screwing with my phone because it streamed Bluetooth music to my phone, and they put on Barney.
What?
And so I had to stop playing racquetball. I had to go out there and smash him in the nose with my racket and be like, hey, we're trying to get pumped up in here, you sipper. And that's when I fell in love with it.
And it just came out.
Yes.
Sometimes those are the best.
I think I've heard it somewhere before, but I don't care. It's great.
And Andy, what's your favorite curse word?
I don't know if it's really a curse word, but I love fig nuts.
Well, it's all about how you use the word.
A general insult. Like if David was being a real turd, like, hey, fig nuts, work out your business.
All right, Andy, this one goes to you. What sound or noise do you love?
Oh. There's something about French horns. Any noise a French horn can make, I'm in on it. Unless it's emptying that spit thing, because that's just gross.
Well, I'd have to agree with you there. And Dave, what sound or noise do you love?
Gosh. What sound or noise do I love?
that's David's favorite noise.
Hit it right on the head. I think my favorite sound is I used to play the bass. So a clear funk bass lick, I love. If it's real clean, real poppy, real metallic and not muddy, I love it.
All right. And Dave, what sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, okay. There's so many. It's hard to. Okay. Number one on my list, a screaming baby in a restaurant, movie theater, anywhere where you have the ability to lift your kid up and take him outside so they don't have to annoy everybody else. Like, it's common courtesy.
It is common courtesy.
Yeah, a screaming baby. When I have a kid and he starts to act up, guess who is running to the door like a linebacker with a football?
And that would be you.
Truly. Yes. I'm not going to be like, well, I had a kid, but you guys should all suffer too.
Well, not in an environment like that. If there's a park or a an area where kids are meant to be, that's a little bit different. But a movie theater or a restaurant? No, that's not that place.
You got 90 screaming kids. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, oh, I got to get out of here. My kid is acting up. Like,
what are all these kids doing at Disneyland?
Yeah, exactly.
But when you go to a place to pay a premium to enjoy something that isn't a child, take it outside.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andy, what sound or noise do you hate?
There's a noise that every time I hear it, it's make me cringe is if people get like rocks and stuff stuck on there in between the little cracks of their shoes, and then they drag their feet on tile floor.
Oh,
I know the sound you're speaking of, and that's a very specific sound.
Yeah.
How did you come to hate it?
All of the schools here have the same sort of tile floor and no grass. So you'd have lazy turds dragging their feet along the floor in school and just be like, why?
Why are you doing that, Fignut?
Yeah, hey, Fignut. Take off your shoes and you come in here.
All righty. Andy, this one goes to you. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
Oh, I would love to attempt movie editing, although you get a lot of eclectic movies.
Yeah.
All right. And Dave, what profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
I've done a lot of stuff. What I would really love to do is terrestrial radio. I'd love to get behind a hot mic in a real studio, going out to real people, getting calls. So radio is my answer.
Okay.
Right, Idideo?
And Dave, what profession would you not like to do?
I got it. It's perfect. Insulators. Now, if you don't know what an insulator is, when you put up a building, those poor sons who have to roll out fiberglass insulation and put it up with their bare hands, those guys. I would rather eat a country mile of tinfoil that someone had thrown up on and then come back on and had diarrhea the whole mile. I would rather eat a mile of that than be an insulator.
That is extreme.
That is very extreme. Are you sure you feel that way about it?
I wavered on it for a few seconds, but I was like, no, I would eat the foil with the diarrhea and the vomit.
All right, Andy, what profession would you not like to do?
My sister is one, and it sounds like hell, kindergarten teacher. See, when and especially when she has her own kids, and then you have to deal with other people's kids, and they're not nearly as disciplined.
Right, of course.
It sounds like hell.
And you can't discipline them, so yeah, of course. All right, and Andy, you get to answer the last question first. Oh. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You can come in?
Well, that would be a nice thing. And Dave, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I'm trying to picture it in my head because I'm standing like, I assume I'm in a long line and God's just giving like a quick throwback to everyone. I want him to do the wink and the finger gun at me.
Like, hey.
But not say anything? Just kind of give you the wink and the finger and wave you through?
Yeah, like he's got a pair of Ray-Bans on, right? And he sees me coming and he lifts up the Ray-Bans and he goes, and he shoots me the finger guns and he's like, and then he points in and does that ZZ Top move and he's like, whir, and I walk right past him like, yeah, thanks.
David goes to the front of the line.
Yeah.
That's a magnificent answer. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your podcast on the internet.
Well, gosh, I mean, one of any number of portals. We're on iTunes, just search FFOP Radio. We're on Stitcher Internet Radio, same name. You can find us on Twitter, we're at FFOP Radio. Facebook, we're at FFOP Radio. Or fistfulofpodcasts.com is the place where you can come and check out our website. If you're not into RSS feeds or internet radio or any of that, but I don't know why you wouldn't. You can always come by the website, and that is fistfulofpodcasts.com.
And I'll make sure Charlie puts that in the show notes for our listeners.
Nice.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with me today. Let's send this on back to the studio and get it edited up.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Andy. I do appreciate it. Thank you for being on my show and for having me on yours. It was such a blast for both sides. I do appreciate it. To recap the interview, Dave's favorite word, well, you heard the second part of it, sipper. But the first word, well, let's just say it rhymes with the word hit. And Andy, well, we didn't have to bleep him out because his favorite word was fig nuts.
This is Carlton Torpin saying, remember, there's no need to RSVP for the RVSP.
That's right, Carlton. There is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. Just subscribe on iTunes or use the Stitcher Smart Radio app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android. You can also catch the show every Friday night at WQ4DRadio.com at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. WQ4D Radio. The upbeat, classy, rock-your-mind radio streaming 24 hours a day at WQ4DRadio.com. And, of course, you can hear all past episodes at RandomVarietyShow.com. Thank you, Carlton, for recording that slogan for us. Carlton was a guest on Season 1, Episode 11. Go back to the archives, check that out about filmmaking, photography, and, well, it's just a grand old time between him and Groucho. I'd also like to thank my guest from last episode, Season 2, Episode 7, Scott Friend, for opening the show today. Thank you, Scott. I do appreciate it. It's Pod God Bumper Time. That's right, we're part of the Pod Gods Network, podgodsnetwork.com. And what I do every episode here is either play a clip from another Pod God or mention a show. And what I'm going to do today is talk about Pod God Damn It. It's a really cool podcast. Mr. Pod God himself, Adam Barker, sends out questions to all the Pod Gods. We independently record them and send them into him. He puts it together each episode. So check out Pod God Damn It on iTunes, Stitcher, or at podgodsnetwork.com. It's time for listener feedback. That's right, it's a chance for me to give back to you since you've been giving it to me for the last 2 weeks. Now, there has been a lot of, Twitter love going on around the RVSP. Thank you all who have retweeted and sent us suggestions and just interacted with us on Twitter. Thank you all so, so very much. This first one I want to point out comes from John Price. He left a voicemail last episode. His Twitter handle is jprice02. And one of the tweets he sent out was, "There are few pods that I never miss an episode of. Even if I have to go backwards, you are at the top of that list." John, when I read that, it warmed the cockles of my heart. Thank you so much, John. Another one comes from longtime listener Becky, Twitter handle @crankymomof2. And this is in response to John's that I just mentioned. She said, "I feel the same way. Best podcast." John and Becky, those two tweets made my day and week when I read them. Thank you so much. And then back to John again. Later, he tweeted again, "Charlie Miller, brains behind the RVS podcast, is a quality human, great man, someone worthy of great respect for all he has done." John and Becky, those three tweets were marvelous. It's hard for me to find words of gratitude to express, so I'm just going to simply say thank you from the bottom of my heart. We had a shout-out on Solid Cat Podcast. Their Twitter handle is Solid Cat Dojo, and we have a shout-out on their episode 39, titled Gravy, from March 30th, 2013. Now, I'll admit, I haven't had a chance to go back and listen because I just haven't. Life's been busy. But it is queued up on my playlist to listen. And lastly, we have a tweet from Inverse Delirium. I left a voicemail for us last episode as well. And we were mentioned in a blog that came out. And I was a guest on their episode 61, titled Taming Lewis Black, that published April 9th, 2013. So a big thank you to Jeffrey for having me on the Inverse Delirium. But also, he's going to be a guest on our show come June. It's voicemail time. Give us a call, 619-407-8770, and we'll play it on the show right here. This first voicemail comes from longtime friend of mine and previous guest on the show. He was guest on Season 1, Episode 9.
Hey, Charlie, this is your friend Tony Burley. I'm calling to wish you the best with your show. I won't tell you to break a leg. Instead, I'll tell you to take it to the edge and pirouette, bro. Love you.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much for the voicemail, man. I really appreciate it. And yeah, you know that I always push it to the edge. I don't know about pirouetting, but I'll definitely stand on the edge and make sure something happens. Now, this next voicemail comes from our guest of Season 1, Episode 21.
Hey, Random Variety Show podcast. It's Rebecca, as in Rebecca Subert Miller, also known as the creator Charlie Miller's wife. So I have a question that's rather random. It's not for Charlie. It's actually for Groucho and for Reginald. My question is, what do you two like to do when you are not working on the podcast? Seeing as how your disembodied voices on the internet, you in theory could travel to anywhere that's in the World Wide Web. So what are your favorite things to do and why? I know what Charlie enjoys doing outside of the podcast, but I'm curious about you too. So, have at it, gentlemen.
Leave it to my wife to send in a message like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did not prompt her. I did not ask her. She did this all on her own. I was surprised when she texted me and said I left a message, and then I checked it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, here we go. Reginald Groucho, what do you have to say?
This is Reginald, so I believe that I will go first. Well, what I like to do when I'm not working on the podcast for one of the days out of the 14 that it takes to produce one of these shows is to, dare I say, hang out on Google Earth. I love cruising around Google Earth, and now with the adaptation of Google Moon, it allows me to, well, be almost anywhere. Groucho?
Well, that's a funny little question there. What do I like to do on my time away from the podcast? Well, being a disembodied voice, as Reginald is, I get to float around anywhere. Usually I find guests to interview for the show, but when the deed is done and we've got a little backlog, I like to go and visit, the crazy thing is, online cemeteries. I like to look where people are buried. I know that sounds a little morbid, but what else can you expect from a disembodied voice? Nah, all kidding aside, seriously, I like to look up and remember my old friends, my brothers, Jackie Gleason, Eddie Cantor, Jack Benny. You know, Jack Benny played the violin at Carnegie Hall. I never played the violin at Carnegie Hall. He also had Mary Livingston. I never had Mary Livingston. But that's besides the point. And just as Reginald, I like to travel using Google Earth. I get to see all the places I was never able to visit while I was alive, especially the moon. But I think the thing I like to do the most is visit my brothers' graves. My brothers were great guys. I mean, we fought all the time, but they were great guys. You know, Chico would give you the shit off his back. It was usually the one he borrowed from you the day before. And nobody could ever say a bad word about Hoppo. He was a special man. You know, some men and women are just born special, and Hoppo was one of those people. You know, and off the stage, Zeppo was the funniest of us all. That's true, he was. He was a turkey on the stage. And my fifth brother, Gummo, most of you don't know Gummo, because he never did any Broadway shows or movies with us. He got his name because he used to wear rubber-soled shoes all around. In those days, they called him Rubbers. And I mean that in a nice way. And that's how he got his name, Gummo Marx. Well, I could wax poetic forever. But that's the type of stuff I like to do when I'm not working on the show. Thanks for the question, Rebecca.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for sending in that voicemail. Thank you, Reginald and Groucho, for those wonderful answers. Well, we've reached that time again. There's the closing show music. I'd like to thank my guests, Dave, Andy, and Ben from Fistful of Podcasts Radio, FFOP Radio. Go check out their podcast. It's like a morning radio show on a bender. Our website is randomvarietyshow.com. Everything you need to know about the show can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. Links to our sponsors, Amazon, Audible, and the direct donate button are there. Our Twitter link, Facebook link, Google Plus, Tumblr, Instagram, our voicemail number, 619-407-8770. You can find a link to iTunes and Stitcher. Hey, if you use those programs, if you use iTunes, give us a rating and review. It really helps the show. And if you're on Stitcher, give us a thumbs up for every single episode. We can be heard every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on the WQ4D Radio Network at WQ4DRadio.com. We can also be found on the Podgods Network, podgodsnetwork.com. The email is therandomvarietyshowpodcast@gmail.com. But like I said, everything can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. Our guest for next episode is the one and only Mark Hershon from Succotash, the comedy podcast podcast. Sound effects for this episode provided by GarageBand and freesound.org. You've been listening to the RVSP, the Random Variety Show podcast. Remember, there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. This is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, this is Charlie Miller saying, thanks so much for listening, folks. I really do appreciate it. Take care of yourselves and each other. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Have a great night.
Mr.
Marks
appears
courtesy
of
the
chaotic
prattle
and
vibrations
of
Mr.
Miller's
larynx
and
the
marvelous
wizardry
of
the
internet.
Thank you for listening. Please visit www.podgodsnetwork.com for more fantastic podcasts from around the world. Like the Facebook page and follow the Podgods on Twitter.
Thank you so much for downloading and listening to another great episode of the Random Variety Show. We're in Season 2, Episode 8. Can you believe it? A year and 8 episodes in. This is awesome. I'm so excited. We're going to do this again.